a day that we can come and assemble ourselves as believers in Christ. Father, we are grateful and we're thankful for our leader and his absence. But Lord, you have loaned your manservant, Reverend Givens. And Father, we ask your blessings upon him. Lord, we ask you to dip him down in that well of salvation, that he come up only preaching Jesus. Father, we ask you to condition our hearts and our minds that we will receive the word and we'll apply the word to our lives. Lord, forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us where we have fell short or been disobedient to your word. We pray, O God, that you will just continue to bless us. And Father, we will continue to look to you for all your glory and all your praise. And realizing, O God, that our faith relies in that we can be saved through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, God, for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let the church say amen. Amen. I am so glad to be here today. We have been on vacation and we have enjoyed our time off. And while I was on vacation, I sort of gathered some words that preparing for the message today. And I was wondering how these three words fit together. Are they first cousins? Are they sisters and brothers? Or what? How do they relate one to another? So it was hard for me to say, well, I should give you this word first and then go to this word, but they all work together. So the three words that I wanted to bring to you this morning, I want you to sort of think on them and digest them within your own life. And those three words have a deep meaning to me. And the first word and the definition is to know. Know means to be aware of through observations, inquiries, or information. Have developed a relationship with someone through meeting or spending time with them, being familiar or friendly with. To be aware of the truth of I can't pronounce that word. Be convinced of a certainty of. To know. And I'm going to stop there for a moment before I give you the other two words. One thing for sure, if you don't leave here without anything, leave here with this. Know where you're going to spend eternity. Know if you die today, right now, where you will spend eternity. That's the most important part. Know that if I die, I will not go to hell. Because folks don't preach on hell like they used to. And they say hell is a bad word. Yes, it is. It's a bad place to go to. But if you don't know for sure where you're going to spend eternity, you will go to hell. And that's for real. Do you know the promises of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but spend. Do you really know? We take things for granted. We come to church and we say, oh, they know right from wrong. Yeah, they might know right from wrong, but do they know him? Do they know him in a personal relationship with him? That bugged me all. I sat on the beach and I looked at the sun and I'm saying, man, it's hot. But it's not as hot as hell's going to be when you spend eternity. It's been 100, 104, humidity's high, folks running the air condition. But I want you to know, if I forget anything else, I wanted to make sure that you know where you're going to spend eternity. I can't make that decision for you. Amen. Only you can make that decision for yourself. Do you know for sure? Do you know for sure where you'll spend eternity? The second word that I have, and I'm going to go back, I'm just giving you the meanings of them now, is trust. First thing I thought about is the trust fund. When people pass away, they leave a trust fund or a family trust. But that's not the trust I'm talking about. Trust is a firm belief in reality of truth, or someone or something relying on the integrity strength. Believe that someone or something is reliable, good, honest, and effective. And in our today's society, who can we trust? Jesus. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. My third word, and then I'll go back, means to believe that the object of one's trust can and will do what it should be. And that's truth. You know, I didn't want to bring this up, but everything that I hear now, I'm weighing the balance. Is it fake news or is it real? Is it fake or is it real? You know, so what do we believe? What is the truth? And can we trust it? Can we trust the truth? Because today, now, we don't know what the truth is on our news media. Everybody lying. Everybody lying. Even church folks. Huh? Church folks are lying. Saying that they're Christian, but believe in something else. Something wrong with that picture. So, how do they fit in? Where do I start? Do I start with no? Do I start with truth? Do I start with trust? One thing for sure, though. Once you know him, the Bible says, ye shall know the truth. And the truth. So what? Oh, my goodness. So let's start with truth then. I got some scriptures that I want to read because they meant a lot to me. And I've learned what I've learned I want to share with others. And the first one was Psalms 51:6. And if you want to turn with me, that's good. If not, I'm going to read them anyway. Because in Psalms 51, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desire truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou hast made me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Did you see that? David was confessing, I've sinned. I know I sin. See, and once we acknowledge that we're sinners saved by grace, we can build that relationship with him, knowing for sure that he loves us. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And do what? cleanse us from what? All, my friends. There go my favorite word again. All means what? And that's all means. Amen? See, in Psalm 51, he says, thou desireth truth in the inward part. Do you know the truth? Do you know the truth? Make me to know. Make me to know wisdom. Another scripture that I want to bring out is John. John chapter 8. This is under truth. John chapter 8. I'm going to start in the first 31 so you can get to where I'm going. Well, I'll start at 30. And he spake these words. Many believed on him. John chapter 8, 30. Then 31 says, then says Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, I didn't get a chance to talk to my English teacher this week because I wanted to really see how these two words fit together. But in those two scriptures alone, we see truth and know. What comes first? The chicken or the egg? Some say the chicken. I don't know. I really don't. The chicken. Okay. Is that the truth? Is that the truth? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. See, you are my disciples indeed if you continue in my word. What's your relationship in the word? What are you building your trust on? Are you believing what men are saying, or are you believing what God is saying? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Oh, we'll start in. See, because these words go together. And then I got to go back to know, because I've been talking about truth. But then truth will come up and I don't know which way to go. So John chapter 14, 5 says, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. That's the question we have in verse 8. Father, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffice us. Jesus said unto him, I have been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me. Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how saith thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father which dwelleth in me. He doeth the work.
See, Philip didn't know. He didn't know. But Jesus told him, do you know? Do you know him that intimately that you can know him for without a shadow of a doubt? That whatever he says, you believe it for yourself. 2 Timothy 3:1 and 8. These are the scriptures that I thought really spoke to me. 2 Timothy 3. And I'm not going to read all eight of those because I want to move on to the next one. 2 Timothy. Soon as I find it, y'all. Galatians, Thessalonians, then Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. All right. You ready? 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self. All the way down to verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Ever learning, verse 7, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. What's holding you back from knowing, the truth? Then 3 John, I like this one. 3 John. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which has borne witness of the charity before the churches whom I bring forward on their journey after a godly source. Thou shalt do well. Verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. See, in verse 3, they were rejoicing because you were walking in the truth. And then he said, we are fellow helpers of the truth. Do we want to see people free? Do we really want to see people free of the bondage that they're in? You've got to know. You've got to tell your story, how you came to know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. The third word is trust. Trust. We read Proverbs this morning, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. But trust is a hard thing for us. We don't trust people very easily, do we? We sort of have to build a relationship over a period of time before we can trust that person. Is that true? And even in your Christian walk, you've got to see that the Lord can do what he says he can do. Amen? I mean, we trust the Lord for our salvation and say, yes, I know I'm going to heaven, but can he meet my every need according to his riches? We've got to learn how to trust him. Is that true? Huh? Or am I the only one that had to take a long walk before? Huh? I mean, so in your life, what does it take for you to trust someone? It's a time that you spend getting to know and believe that he is what he says that he is. Amen? So, if we look at something that is reliable, good, or honest, is God that good to you? Can you trust him for your every need? Or is there some doubt in your mind that you can say, well, maybe he'll do this or that? Are you saying, hey, I have no shadow of doubt. I know he's able. I know that he's able to do what he says he'll do. And do you really know the promises of God? Or are you just guessing at the promises? He's given us some promises that he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David says, I will. That's devastating, folks. Working in the hospital, seeing folks die, and folks not holding their it's rough. They're scared. I want to go to heaven, but am I ready today? Huh? Are you ready today? You know, I love Mr. Rice, and he does a wonderful job, and he's been with the funeral business for a long time. But he sees dead folks all the time. That's who he deals with, dead folks. You know, once I stop working, that's who I want to deal with, because y'all don't respond too well. Dead folks don't talk back. Am I right? Huh? Dead folks won't say nothing to you. Huh? You can dress them up, and if they don't like what they wear, what they'll say. Dealing with dead folks. Where am I at? Oh, Psalms 20. Let's go to Psalm 20. That got me off course. I'm going back to my scriptures, y'all. Good, he says. Psalms 20. Let's look at Psalms 20, which is a good verse. Psalms 20, verse 6 and 7. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord through the mercies of the Most High. He shall not be moved. Amen. In Psalm 37, it reminds me of, and I thought I was reading Proverbs, but it's so familiar, so similar. Psalms 37, I'm going to start at verse 1 because it says, fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord with all, so shall thy dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. See the promise there? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Hey, are we willing to wait? Are we really willing to wait? You know, I'm so glad I live in Lynchburg, Virginia. I am highly thankful. I went up to Ohio, and on my way up to Ohio, you know what gas is up there? I was surprised. $2.49. I started out my trip wrong. I said, what? I should have filled up before I left. Then I went to Pittsburgh. I says, okay, $2.49 is not bad. That's okay. I can live with that. The Lord will supply my every need. I went to Pittsburgh and it was $2.39. I said, man, what is happening here? So when I got back to Lynchburg, I was so glad to see $1.89. I could shout. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Wait patiently. And he'll give you the strength. He'll give you the joy, the peace, the comfort. In closing, I want to go back to I talked about trust. I talked about truth. You shall know the truth. Trust in the Lord. But personally, I want you to know we've all sinned. We've all sinned and come short. The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. So when we look and hear about this fake news and who's doing what and what to believe and what not to believe, you need to know for sure who you're depending on. The Bible says some trust in chariots, but I'm going to trust in the Lord. In Genesis 3:23-22, I was going to come out and say that in the beginning, you know, we needed to know how all this truth and trust came about. But Adam and Eve knew what they were doing. Anytime God speaks to you directly and tell you not to take of the forbidden fruit, you know what you're doing. Huh? Am I right? If someone tell you don't go down 29 because there's a big accident, they telling you what they know. Now, it's up to you to make that right choice. And then 3:22, and it says, the Lord says, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now let us push forth our hand and take him also the tree of life and eat that he live forever. But I wanted to bring out the point. You know good. You know right from wrong. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. What are we training? What are we teaching? What are we telling? What story are we? What testimony do we have? What are we really doing to show folks that we know? We know the truth. Exodus 14:4. To know good and evil. Exodus 14:4. And it says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all the hosts. Look at this now. Look at it. It says that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did also. See, the Lord lets us know that he can make us. He'll bring some things in and says, it ain't nothing but the Lord that did that. Until you come to a personal relationship with the Lord, you'll be guessing and hoping. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest name, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And in closing, John 10:27. I gave you a lot of scriptures today, and I'm hoping that they have meant something to you as they have meant to me. Because to know something and to know the truth, you can trust, and folks will believe you and begin to trust you. John 10:27 says what? And my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. Who are you following today? What are you trusting in? And really, the bottom line is, do you know the truth? Do you personally know the truth? Because God says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come unto me. Are you willing to come to him? Are you willing to say that I do not know? I know about him, but I don't really trust or believe what his word says. Then you need to build a relationship with him. And only you can do that. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful for your word. And Father, we know that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we actually think. Father, you know the hearts of the people here. We know, you know, if there's a need of salvation or dedication or rededication or even just a closer walk with you. So Father, we ask that you'll speak to the hearts, that your sheep will hear your voice, that they'll accept your ways and do that which is pleasing to you. And we'll always be careful to give you the glory and the praise for what you've done and what you're going to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen. May we stand.